Armstrong toxic brother looking at the stuff from yesterday. All the drama, all the strategy and silliness from Fido to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason. You know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it. Tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for March 24th. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and with me today is Liana. How are you doing, Liana?
I'm so happy to be here. I always look forward to sitting down talking about my favorite show, Big Brother.
There you go. Yes, we are here talking about the Big Brother Canada 6 live feeds, and we're going to be telling you everything that happened yesterday. So let's get started. We have Erica as our HOH, and she spent a lot of the day talking to people individually. And that's going to be the majority of our update, I think. First, she had a conversation with Olivia where she, as we talked about yesterday, confirmed to Olivia that basically her plan is that she wants to put Maddie and Marin on the block with Maddie as the target. And Olivia is going to continue to push the idea that, hey, you know, we should really consider the backdoor Veronica plan if that's possible. And don't worry, you have the votes. You definitely have the votes, which is true. If Erica did do this, she would have the votes to do it. Olivia makes sure she makes sure that Erica knows this. And they're going to spend, Olivia and Allie in particular, are going to spend most of the day trying to convince Erica that this is a viable option.
Yeah, you could probably you could cut your live feed update like totally in half, because every conversation it felt like was this exact same thing of Erica saying, OK, I'm putting Maddie and Marin on the block for sure. That's what's happening. And then whoever she's talking to saying, OK, but Veronica is a backdoor, though. Like, have you thought about that? That was pretty much every conversation, including this one with Olivia. And it's actually really interesting that Olivia has, I don't know if being put on the block sort of like lit this fire under her, if she now feels a little bit more comfortable trying to push for things, but it's nice to see her at least try to advocate for something to happen this week.
Yeah, I mean, it is really tacky of her, but she is doing a little bit of campaigning.
So tacky. Like, I'm embarrassed for her.
Yeah, me too. Then Erica talks with Marin, and she lets Marin know, look, you are on my short list here, which is basically like, you don't tell somebody they might be going on, unless you're Hamza, you don't tell somebody they might be going on the block unless they are going on the block. So this is basically her telling Marin that he's going on the block. But she's going to have another conversation later where he again has to be very nice to her as she tells him, you're going probably on the block, but you're not my target. Don't worry about that. And he's like, that's cool. That's fine. You're fine, Erica. Don't worry about it. Don't feel bad. Please don't feel bad.
I love this attitude, the way he takes the information, because, yeah, he's just like, oh, that's fine. I'm OK. Like, I get it. I see where you're coming from, which, you know, we've talked about in Survivor. When you make somebody feel guilty, it almost they want to get rid of you. So this sort of attitude of coming at it from a completely different direction of, oh, yeah, everything's fine. They have puppies, roses. You know, it's almost like, oh, OK, you know, I'm OK with putting him out. Like, yeah, he's still going to end up going on the block. That's not going to change anything. But, you know, it definitely solidifies the fact that, oh, I don't feel guilty being around him, so I'm not going to want to get rid of him.
Yeah, pretty much. Just quick side note for anyone watching the video. I've been looking at Liana and I've been like, did she dye some of her hair purple? Like, what is something going on? No, the mic light was shining on her hair and it was confusing me until she started playing with it and I saw it go on her hand.
Well, now I know that I'm going to have to dye part of my hair purple just to mess with you next week. And then we're just gonna change it up. So it'll be a Mess with Taryn podcast.
I didn't know Liana had that side to her, dyeing the hair hair purple.
This is how exciting the live feeds were yesterday. This is something that Taryn is more interested in talking about.
Well, I think it's Veronica. I think Veronica is in my head about purple hair that shouldn't be purple.
Plur, man. Plur.
yes. So Maren is very kind about this. And then Erica talks with Johnny. And this is probably the most interesting conversation of the day. Because as we talked about yesterday, we know Johnny is going to have a bit to say about these plans, because first of all, he's not going to want Veronica backdoored. He wants Veronica in the game as a shield. Second, he's not going to want Maddie evicted. He's going to want Maren evicted over Maddie. And we see both of those things come into play in this conversation. Johnny immediately says about the Veronica move, like, oh, wow. Yeah. You know what? That is a good move. I like that move. It's a big move. I don't know if it's best for you to have to make that shot, though, because you don't want to do other people's dirty work, right? Like, you want other people to have to make that shot. You want to, be the safe one. And Erica's like, oh, yeah, you are kind of right about that. And I think Johnny will continue to be basically the lone voice of opposition to try to prevent Erica from making this move. And probably will, to be honest. I'm not sure if she's going to go through with this with Johnny in her ear, if he continues to be in her ear.
Yeah, I think that there's a slim chance, despite all the other people telling Erica that she needs to backdoor Veronica. I just think the fact that Johnny, which I'm so impressed with his gameplay, has influence over her, and he does it in such a wonderful way of sort of playing it like, you know, you shouldn't take that big move. You know, it's not good for your game. You know, everything is sort of, he tries to frame it and shift like from Erica's perspective, which is always really nice to see. And, you know, Erica and Johnny are close. And so I think if Johnny continues to stand by, no, don't do the back door, it's not going to happen if the veto gets used.
Yes, I do think the one caveat is Erica has no idea who she'd put up if one of the people are taken off the block, and the quest for who to put up, like, because she doesn't have somebody solid in mind, it could make her lean toward Veronica, since it's like Veronica's the only person she's even been thinking about. But we'll see how that goes. I think it'll be interesting. I'm hoping that there's a veto win for sure, just because, you know, a Veronica backdoor would be crazy in itself, but even something else happening would be interesting. So we'll see how that goes. So Johnny is saying that about Veronica, starting to sort of sway Erica in the other direction. Then he also talks about, like, you know, just like in the middle of the conversation, he'll just, oh man, I wish Maddie wasn't leaving, though, because and Erica's, oh, why? He's, well, you know, I just feel like, you know, she's by herself. I feel like I can pick her up, whereas Maren is Hamza's number. Right. And if we take Maren out, then Hamza has nobody else and we can pick him up. It's not really settling in with Erica. I think the Johnny's real problem here is that it took too long to have this conversation with Erica. You know, she won HOH on Thursday night, and he didn't have this conversation until well into Friday morning, and that's a lot of time for Erica to be thinking about and then solidifying her own plans, especially since she's talked to people about this. Once the HOH talks to a bunch of different people saying, this is probably my plan, I'm definitely doing this, one conversation isn't going to be able to change that around, because then it's even just like, just on sheer momentum alone, like, what am I going to tell other people now? Like, I changed my mind. Like, who changed my mind? I'm going to say Johnny changed my mind. That's not good. I don't know. I got to stick with what I want.
I like that wine. I don't know. Yeah, that's definitely where Erica is coming from. I mean, it's too little too late. If Johnny was actually going to try and change the nominations, I have to believe that this is him sort of planting the seeds then for if the veto does get used, or later on in the week when they're talking about the vote, because, you know, Erica wants Maddie out, but it's not a done deal that Maddie is going to be going home. And so there's still some, you know, if Johnny can sort of sway Erica to say, no, Maren should be the one leaving, whatever the case may be. I think that that's more where Johnny is coming from. But yeah, as far as changing the vote, it was definitely too little too late.
Yeah. And I think that basically what Johnny is trying to do here is just open the door for, like, you know, I know you want Maddie out, but it wouldn't be a bad thing if Maren went out either. And that opens the door for Johnny to campaign to some other people and plant some seeds in some other people. And then if it's like, oh, well, the house wants Marin out, it's good to go along with what the house wants. And as I was saying before, it's not even that bad of a thing that Marin goes. It's actually probably better for our game. Then it's like, oh, all right. I guess we can do this.
Yeah. Well, and it's also, it's interesting because Erica, you know, it takes a while to sort of build, and with most people, it takes a while to sort of build this story and build this logic. And so that's what Johnny's doing. It's not going to be a whole rush of facts all at once, which there's another conversation we'll talk about later, which sort of fits that bill. But sort of building and working on the emotions also to appeal to Erica's emotions. It's not just, you know, facts. It's sort of, I have to get Erica feeling like she's okay with taking out Marin. And that's also part of what Johnny was doing, I think, in this conversation.
Yes, Shara in the chat on robhasawebsite.com. Make sure you join us there if you want to ask some questions or just chat at us. Asks, is Johnny the Mitch Moffat of the season? Does his game most closely resemble his so far? This comparison's been made. Obviously, I said that he sounded like Mitch when he started the season. And also, there's this idea that he is doing so much work behind the scenes, but is not being shown on the episode. That's also very Mitch-like. That said, I don't know if I'd say his game is similar to Mitch's. Mitch had a much different game in terms of like how he operated. Mitch, he embedded himself with a couple of people and then pitted two sides against each other and then, like, you know, ran this house and then, you know, picked a side and targets ahead of him. Johnny is operating very differently, I think. Johnny is really he's not embedding himself. He's like attaching himself like a parasite to all of these different groups and then just like like seeping his influence into them. It's a different kind of game, even though obviously there are a lot of similarities. I wouldn't say he's playing the same strategic game as Mitch. What do you think?
That is a disturbing metaphor. That's what I think. I mean, I think sort of with the way that he structured his gameplay, sure, you know, there are definitely differences. But I think, you know, I think that he's a lot more similar to Mitch, you know, than a number of other players. So I can definitely see where the similarity is coming from. I think it's just really funny that, you know, we joked that first week about Johnny being part of all of these alliances that he's not aware of. It's like, oh, hey, well, now he is aware. And, you know, he's not part of alliances, but he is really using sort of this, like, now I can't think of anything other than a parasitic relationship, but like sinking his, you know, his claws in and sort of slowly manipulating and trying to mold people and move things forward the way that he wants.
Yeah. And also, like Mitch, a lot of people do talk about Johnny once in a while about like, oh, Johnny is in good with everyone. You know, that's concerning, but like Mitch, I don't think that's ever going to amount to anything. It's a lot of talk, but like, even though you're saying Johnny's in good with everyone, you also think he's in good with you. So, it's totally cool. As we'll talk about later, when people talk about Will being good with everyone, they're talking about it in terms of Will being a threat, and potentially needing to get Will out at some point very soon. I'm sure people will start to do that with Johnny as well. But Will is definitely more of an immediate target in that regard. Let's continue this conversation. So Johnny is talking about that. He's talking about like sort of his position in the house with Erica. They don't seem to talk a lot, Erica and Johnny, but they have a connection that I have to assume was just formed really like pre-feeds. And then they separated because, Ryan said Erica, Johnny, and Liv are in an alliance. And so Johnny was like, oh, whoa. I don't want to be associated with any alliances. And so they separated a bit and they don't talk much. Erica sometimes gets sketched out by how often they don't talk. But when they come together, they seem to be pretty tight, and that's a pretty good connection. And so they're both really happy about their position in the game, their social games. Erica's really happy because she seems to have come closer to Johnny's level in the week that she was immune. I think that she's probably going to drop back down a little now that she's in power and back in the game. I don't know if she has the skills to maintain it the way that Johnny does. But they are in a similar position that they are attached to a bunch of different groups of people that feel that they can trust her. And they're both kind of, Erica more so than Johnny, like patting herself on the back about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Erica, there's a little smugness that's starting to come through. We're not getting like full blown HOHIs.
Yeah, this is not Hamza, Call Me a Genius, or Ryan, I've watched 800 hours. This is this is well-deserved patting on the back.
Yeah, right. Exactly. It's like, okay, girl, like you can have your moment. That's fine. But yeah, it's interesting that you talk about their bond because that's so true. Like, I actually didn't think about how little they do speak, but the fact that because whenever I do see them together, you can tell like they trust each other. There's this immediate connection and this really is a strong bond between the two of them.
Yeah. And, you know, again, people know that they have a connection, but the fact that they don't talk very often, like people can assume things all day long, but they go off of what they see. Mm-hmm. And if you see somebody interacting with somebody else all the time, you're going to associate that person with another person. And so even if you know in your head that Johnny and Erica are tight, if you never see them talking, it's not going to come to your head. You're going to think of Allie and Liv. You're going to think of Derek and Kayla. You're going to think of Will and Veronica. You're not going to think of Johnny and Erica. So it's very, very good. It's very difficult to maintain because you just met this person. And, you know, that's often how you make bonds, by spending time with them. But if you're able to make a bond quickly and then maintain it without a lot of contact, I think that's a very, very valuable relationship in the house.
Yeah, that's like if I were to have a connection, if I were to play Big Brother, like, of course, that's what you want. Somebody that you can sort of trust implicitly, that you're really close with, that nobody perceives you to be close with. You know, I really hope that they can maintain this. You know, if their bond is so strong, they will be able to do it without spending a lot of time together. But yeah, I mean, you know, how do you make that work long term when there's two people who just don't spend time together? I mean, it's really hard to move that relationship forward. Whereas all these other pairs, because they're spending so much time together, their bonds are developing more and more and more. And the bond that you made week one sort of looks, you know, much smaller in comparison.
Yeah. So we then have Paris and Erica talk, and Paris is very much looking to form more of a bond with Erica. She's like, basically like, oh my God, you're amazing. I love you. You've been here for me. You've been the only one that's been here for me. You're so great. I want to work with you. I want to have a relationship with you. Your girlfriend is super hot. Just way over the top praise, but Erica eats it up. She loves it. Paris seems to be doing a pretty good job of sort of making Erica feel at ease with her, especially considering Maddie is basically getting targeted for Paris's sins. Paris is doing a very good job of keeping Erica on her side in this conversation.
Yeah. And I mean, Erica right out the gate, you know, says, I'm going to save you time. You're not on my list, mm-hmm. you know? And so immediately just says, you know, I'm not targeting you, obviously. And then Paris also has this really nice ability to sort of pick up on what the other person wants to talk about. So Erica wanted to talk about like the Veronica thing and the hinky vote, which comes back again multiple times today. You know, Paris really sort of latches on that Erica wants to talk about this, you know, and so goes along with that, along with all the praise, really, Paris just does a good job appealing to Erica, even though, you know, Paris was never on Erica's shortlist in the first place.
Another thing that I especially picked up on in this conversation was Paris's ability to play dumb, because we know that that's something she does, and we know that she celebrated when she was called dumb, but she really, she's not afraid at all of being like self-deprecating. So many people in this house, they're like, oh, I knew that Veronica was the vote. I'm so good at reading people. They love to talk about how great they are, because that's just like what people generally, I guess, do. But Paris is very willing to be like, man, I'm such a dummy. I thought it was Ryan. I thought it was Kayla. Like, I can't believe I didn't pick up on that. But now that you're telling me, I completely believe you. You make complete sense that, of course, it's Veronica. She's the worst. And Paris does that constantly about a lot of different things. Like I was dumb enough to believe this. I can't believe that I said this. What a crier I am. I'm constantly crying and you're constantly having to comfort me. She puts herself down so often that it gives off a perception of her that doesn't come out when she's talking to the cameras. When she's talking to the cameras, she's like super arrogant. So I think that's a very, very impressive thing from Paris. Obviously, if she makes it to the end of the game, we'll see, you know, how it impacts that, the jury vote. But for now, at least it's, I think it's one of the things that's definitely keeping her safe. People think that they can control her, that they can bring her in because, not only does it give you a perception of yourself that is like, oh, I'm dumb, I'm, you know, falling for things, but it also gives the other person the idea that they are influencing you because they're accepting your version of the truth. Right. So like, Paris is like, oh, Erica, you're right. She's not going to Erica being like, oh, I knew that already. She's saying, oh, thank you so much. That's amazing. You've altered my world. It's good stuff.
Yeah, it's I really like it on a week to week basis, keeping her safe. I just can't help. And this is me being super forward. I mean, it's like week four or whatever. Mm-hmm. Just thinking about the end game, because how is she then going to convince all of these people that, no, that was my play the entire time? I mean, you talk about perception as reality and how they perceive her to be is this ditzy, dumb girl. I mean, it's funny because we talk about people like Philip Shepherd or, you know, like even Josh, we could have gotten to the end and been like, oh, boom, like what? I'm super smart, you know. I was playing you the whole time. Is that believable? Is that going to win her the jury vote at the end? And I know, you know, getting a little bit ahead of ourselves, but as far as the week to week goes and keeping her around, I mean, nobody sees her as a threat because they feel like, one, they have influence over her, two, she's not that smart and therefore won't, you know, have her own agency in the game. And they're willing to keep her around because of those things.
Yeah. And I do think that, I think she was playing pretty well before Jesse was kind of randomly targeted. Then her game just plummeted because she was way too focused on Jesse. But now that Jesse is gone, she's back to a somewhat decent place. She has lost a lot of power. She's lost a lot of influence, but nobody's coming after her. Everyone feels good about her. And she even says herself later on in the day that Jesse leaving, sorry, Jesse, but I think that was actually a good thing for me, which I'm going to say I agree with, because even though she had power and influence when Jesse was in the house, I think it became clear over the course of that week that she was way too focused on, and at some point or another, that would have been very detrimental to her game. So even though her position is worse now, I think game wise, everything has opened up again. She doesn't have this glaring flaw that's going to drag her down anymore.
Yeah, I completely agree. And it's almost different players, just based on their personalities, I think have to play different games in order to be successful. And I think Paris with Jesse is some sort of power couple thing. That doesn't really play to Paris's game. Yeah. So I think having Jesse go really was a really good thing for her in the long term.
Yes. So as I mentioned, Paris and Erica, they talk about Veronica a lot. Paris is basically, again, sort of in this invisible, like this war with Johnny over influence, where Johnny has just convinced Erica it's probably not a good idea to nominate Veronica. But now Paris is like, oh, Veronica, she's the worst. We should totally target her. And this time the house is on Paris's side. So Paris might have a bit of a leg up on this one. But Paris really trying hard to get Veronica, get Erica riled up about Veronica at the very least. And she does a pretty good job of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost sort of the same thing of just, okay, let me start planting the seeds. Don't you just dislike Veronica? Really, this is what's good, is Paris appealing to this emotional side of Erica, you know, not laying out really the facts or logic of the situation. It's just, you know, when she threw that hinky vote, you know, just, you know, since you told me about the hinky vote, now thank you that you told me, and just sort of starting to get this going. I actually heard this, I think I said it was a comment on Reddit, but I saw it described as sort of a Cold War situation where there's no missile being shot outright. It's just sort of these battles that are sort of happening, you know, under the covers for now. We'll see what happens.
That, I mean, it's, again, it's very Mitch and Tim. I'm sure people, I've avoided saying the words because I know people got annoyed, But the Mitch and Tim Cold War is very much in play here with Johnny and with Paris. But yeah, so they're talking about Veronica. Paris is like, oh yeah, she said that she was trying to like listen in when she was listening on headphones. And this is a very funny story. Erica was like, yeah, I know, because like I was talking with Will about like family stuff, and Veronica's sitting there listening to music, and then all of a sudden she just pauses it. I can hear the music. It was blasting, and then all of a sudden it's paused, and she's still like dancing along, like trying to eavesdrop. And it's just like why are you doing this? This is insulting to all, to everyone here. It's very awkward. And it's just like, that is Veronica in a nutshell, pausing the music and continuing to dance, thinking that nobody has noticed. So very, very riled up about Veronica, at this moment. Then we get, the sort of a 1-2 punch with Allie and then Erica talking with Kayla. Both of them pushing for Veronica to be the back door. Erica says to Allie that she's like, okay, yeah, I think I'm like 70%. 70%. If the opportunity presents itself, we're probably going to, you know, make the move. That's looking up from when she was talking with Johnny. So I think the Paris conversation definitely helped, but I think that percentage is going to go down a bit again over the course of the day. And it's going to be bouncing around until the veto happens.
Yeah, it's definitely going to fluctuate, you know, until we know for sure. What Johnny needs to do, if he doesn't want Veronica going up, is he needs to start planting seeds of who the other person is going to be. Because it's like you said, if Veronica is literally the only person that Erica has considered, if the veto does get used, it's almost sort of you fall into this default of, okay, well, Veronica was the person we were all talking about, so I'm going to put up Veronica. So I think I do agree that the percentage is going to fluctuate, but I think that there's some work that Johnny could be putting in to prepare for, you know, the veto being used if somebody does decide to use it.
Yeah, and honestly, I think for Johnny, I think that's probably where he should draw the line in terms of like how far he should go to protect mm-hmm. Veronica. I think that his sphere of influence, he can effortlessly get Erica scared enough that if Erica wins the veto, she doesn't use it. He can get enough people like Will, whoever, anybody else who wins the veto, he can get it not used. And he can also get Marin out of the house, I think. And so that's about as far as he should go. If Maddie ends up winning, or if Marin ends up winning the veto, or even somebody like Allie and takes one of them off, if the veto is used, I think at that point, if he starts pushing another target, that's when it starts to get a little dangerous. And that's when I don't think Veronica's worth it at that point. I think he should just kind of let it go.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with you. I mean, I do think that, you know, that's been Johnny's MO, is to not say anybody's names, and to play from that perspective. So I can see that. I mean, I think that there's no harm in just, you know, he doesn't even have to say a name when he's talking to Erica, just posit the question of what would happen. Because I think that's sort of how you start to feel things out. But yeah, I agree. I don't think that, you know, it's worth it for his game to really sort of especially once the veto has been used, if it looks like somebody's going to use it to really push for a target, that doesn't really make sense. I mean, it's just not worth it. But I think that there's a little that he could do before to, you know, just sort of feel things out about the veto situation.
Yeah, for sure. So when Erica is talking with Kayla, this is when they were talking about like, cause Kayla really more than anyone is on top of the Will situation. One of the reasons she wants Veronica out is cause she wants to take a shot at Will, essentially. She remembers that Will is the reason Jesse went home. Will is the reason. Will is the one that flipped on them. And she understands that Will is playing the entire house. And she is subtly planting those seeds everywhere she goes, making sure everyone knows Will is good with every single person in this house. Will is the biggest threat in the house. And she will not rest until Will is targeted by somebody, preferably not her, but by somebody. And so she makes sure that Erica knows. And Erica's like, yeah, you are kind of right. I just love him, though. It's just, you know, I couldn't put him up myself, but you're right. He is a big threat, essentially. Kayla's doing her best to get that out there without it coming back on her.
Yeah, I've been really happy with Kayla's gameplay overall this season. I think her sort of starting to plant the seeds of Will, I mean, she's doing it a little bit more forcefully than really I think is potentially necessary. But yeah, I mean, just again, sort of constantly planting these ideas of, okay, Will's a big target. I know you like him, but he's a big target. So then you sort of get this Will's a big target, Will's a big target mantra out there. And then eventually it sinks in and hopefully somebody will take a shot if that, you know, for her game.
Yes. All right. So then Derek and Kayla have a conversation. Kayla says she's happy with these nominations that Erica let her know about Maddie and Marin. Right now, she'd kind of prefer Marin to stay because she doesn't think she can trust Maddie. Again, that goes back to that conversation that the women had about, you know, Maddie is the one that's putting a wedge between us, which again, blame is going on Maddie for Paris's things. And I feel like this is one of those cases where Kayla knows that it was Paris that told her, but I think she forgot. And I think the perception that Maddie was sketchy and the perception that it was Maddie that did it seeped into Kayla's head. And now she believes that Maddie was the one, which is it's funny how Big Brother works sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate for Maddie, but she hasn't been doing herself any favors to shed this, you know, sketchy vibe. Like, why are you being so cagey? And the perception just from last week has, you know, come along and continued. And everybody sort of perpetuates this rumor that, you know, it's her, that Maddie's the one that's doing it. And everybody now just starts to believe that that's the reality.
Yes. Hamza then talks to Erica and he again says, so you're going to put me on the block, right? Please. You're going to put me on the block? Erica's like, no, I'm not doing that. I love you, Hamza. You are not going home on my HOH. That's not going to happen. And he's like, but I want to play in the veto. And he's like, will you at least pick me if you have the choice for the veto? And she's like, yes, I'll do that. And he's like, yes, I love you, Erica. He's a lunatic.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, oh, this is the best thing that could happen. I guess he's bored. I get it. If I were in that house, I would probably be bored too. But like, oh God, it's such terrible gameplay. It does make, I mean, I would say he's really entertaining because he's doing all these insane things. Like who really begs to be put on the block? I mean, and then yeah, just, oh my gosh, please pick me. Please let me play in the veto. I mean, yes, lunatic is a very good way to describe him.
Yeah, he wants to win all of the competitions. He wants to break some records. Olivia and Allie both talk with Erica some more. They both push the Veronica back door even more. And then Veronica has a conversation with Erica where Veronica just handles it pretty poorly. At first, Erica's saying like flat out, like, yeah, I know some people are lying to me, to my face, and not too happy with it. And then later just basically comes out and says, like, look, I think you might be lying to me about the vote. But look, whatever. I don't care. Like, it's fine. I'm not putting you on the block. I want to put it behind us. Like, it's fine if you're lying to me about the vote. Like, what? Like, it's whatever. And Veronica's like, oh, OK, good. I'm glad that it's fine. Either way, but yeah. It's not me.
Yeah, right. That was the best part, was because when Erica was like, it's fine. And then Veronica sort of accepts that it's fine. She's like, oh, that's really good. I'm really happy that it's fine. Yeah, but it wasn't me.
She still doesn't admit it. It's just like.
Exactly. Like somebody is literally calling you out for being the one who cast this vote. Like just like, I really don't understand why you're going to continue to play like you didn't do it. It was such a BS conversation. I mean, it was hilarious, but Veronica did not do herself any favors.
Yeah. It's how it goes with Veronica. Erica then talks to Marin and this time confirms for sure, Marin, you are going up on the block. You're not my target. Maddie's going to go up next to you. She's the target. Don't worry. And this is when he's just like, it's fine. Don't worry. Don't feel bad. Please don't feel bad. We talked about it. And then Erica talks with Maddie and she lets Maddie know that she's going on the block. And Maddie is immediately like, okay, who am I going next to? Marin. Oh, so I'm the target.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh my God. This conversation was fantastic because Maddie was so robotic, but like accurately assessing the situation. So she, I mean, she's running through, okay, I am logically assessing what is happening in real time to me right now, but not thinking at all about how Erica then is perceiving this and how is taking in this information. I mean, Maddie is oh my gosh. There was one moment where Erica, you know, was sort of trying to comfort Maddie because it was clear that Maddie was like about to cry. Maddie was like, I'm not going to cry. And I was just sitting in my computer yelling, cry, girl, cry. Like this, you need to appeal to the emotional side of Erica. This is not what's gonna, you know, try to save you. Oh my goodness, it was a disaster.
Yes, Caleb on Facebook says they woke a sleeping giant.
Yeah, maybe.
I think Godfrey said Maddie was one of his sleeping giants.
I think you know, it definitely she has the possibility of something like that, but I think that just sort of, oh my gosh. I don't even know. I mean, there was one point where Erica, after the conversation was over, was like, I feel like this changes nothing. So, I mean, clearly all of the talk that Maddie did really just did nothing. I mean, did nothing to help her game.
It was a lot of veiled threats. Like, yeah. It really sucks that you're doing this and drawing a line. Not that I'm gonna like draw a line, but it does point us in a direction. Not that I'm gonna be pointed in a direction, but it does do something that is really unfortunate, and I think you're gonna regret it.
Yes, you're gonna regret your decision, and like I think you're making a mistake. Oh my goodness!
Not saying it's idiotic, or not saying you're an idiot, but it might be a little yeah. idiotic.
Oh my gosh. She needs to like go to mob boss school because she clearly has some talent when it comes to veiled criticisms and veiled threats. Oh, so great. Oh. And then afterwards, Erica said something also about, you know, she's disappointed in me, which then was totally made sense that Maddie was not mad. She's just disappointed.
Mm. Yeah. Oh. So you're right. Nothing changes here. Maddie still is going to be going on the block, still going to be Erica's target. But what Maddie does do right here is that she now knows she's going up the block. She immediately gets to work. She runs to Will. She says, Will, I'm going up the block. I'm going up next to Marin. I'm the target. Like, we need to fix this. And Will is like, okay, what you need to do is go to Derek and Kayla, which is very astute advice. Will, he knows what he's doing here. So she runs to Derek and Kayla, and right when she starts to talk to Derek, feeds cut, which is unfortunate because I think some good work was done there.
Yeah, let's assume that.
I don't know. I think so.
I think that Maddie recognizes that nothing was going to change. She was going to go on the block. She was going to be the, you know, at least Erica's target for that week. But it's the people voting, right? So if she can rally the people that she needs to try to stay in the game, you know, that's really where she's sort of focusing her effort. And I think that that's the correct play for her because nothing is going to change with Erica.
Yes, exactly. You know, she tried with Erica, but now, again, it's really so often Big Brother can come down to who gets there first, because people don't want to change their minds unless they feel like they are like free and open to it. And certainly it happens all the time in Big Brother that people change their minds, things flip. But that's when something new comes to them, right? Every time something new comes to you, that's when you have the ability to change your mind. And so if Maddie runs to Derek and Kayla and says, look, I'm going up on the block. I want to work with you, blah, 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 whatever she said. That's new information. That's something new for Derek and Kayla to be like, okay, we accept this. We like this. Then if Marin comes around to them later, they're like, we already got the thing. And now we'd have to change the thing. Maddie potentially wins this war just by being the first one to go there. And so the feeds come back after Maddie and Marin are nominated. And right away, it seems like things, are tanking for Marin immediately. We've got Johnny and Allie having a conversation, and Johnny is already pointing Allie toward, you know, Maddie, maybe she's not a big threat. Like Marin, though, I don't know. And Allie's like, I don't know if I can trust Maddie, though, because remember, Allie is one of the people that put the target on Maddie in the first place. But Johnny is he's doing very good and subtle work. He says something very good here. He says, you know, I wish I could campaign against Marin, But that's like campaigning against Hamza because they're so tight. And I just don't know if I can do that. But like, when else are we going to look at Marin? Because, you know, he's up there now. But like, when is anybody ever going to target Marin? And that definitely gets in Ali's head. She mentions how tight Marin is with Hamza later. Again, great work by Johnny here.
Yeah, it's really nice. And Johnny also sort of has this ability to be, you know, almost like dominoes. He's the one who sort of hits that first domino and then the rest of the work is sort of done for him. Because, you know, then Allie, now that that's in her head, okay, now she's going to go and talk about it later with like Olivia. And sort of it just starts this cascade of events that, you know, really could send Marin home this week.
Yes. So, so Allie and Liv have a conversation, and they talk about like, maybe we should keep Maddie. Maybe we should, maybe that should be okay. Because apparently Kayla had talked to them and been like, maybe we want to take Marin out. So again, whatever Maddie said to Derek and Kayla seems to have worked because Kayla at the beginning of the day wanted Maddie out and now seems to have talked to Allie and Liv and seems to be on board with keeping Maddie, you know, and with Kayla working for her, with Johnny working for her. This is really starting to look bad for Marin. Meanwhile, Maddie and Paris are talking, Maddie is kind of a little too hyped up here. She's like, I'm going to blow stuff up. I don't care. I don't care what it takes. They've awoken the sleeping giant. And Paris is like, whoa, I don't know if you need to, though. Don't worry about it. Because first of all, you don't know this, but there is a backdoor plan potentially in play. This isn't from Erica, but a lot of people want this, and it's definitely a possibility that Veronica may be backdoored. So any chance you get, you throw Veronica right under that bus. I don't think you need to blow anything up. If Veronica goes up, you're good. You don't have to do anything else. And Maddie's like, okay, it calms Maddie down a little bit. It's exactly what Maddie needed, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Like, this is a situation where it's not plan Z yet, girl. Sit down. Like, let's just play it calm, okay? You know, things are starting to shift. The critical mass is happening to sort of rally around, you know, keeping you safe. That doesn't mean that you should go and, like you said, start blowing stuff up. So I think it was good that Paris was there and was able to sort of temper all of Maddie's excitement and a little bit of insanity.
Yes. So now Allie and Liv were talking about probably keeping Maddie. Then Allie has a conversation with Maddie. And this is a very important conversation for Maddie because Allie still doesn't feel that she can fully trust Maddie. And if she's going to end up saving her, she's going to have to feel a bond with her. Like, Maddie's going to have to come out of her shell and finally start making actual moves and saying actual things to people. And luckily she does a little bit here. She's especially armed with the information that Allie wants to target Veronica. Maddie starts talking all sorts of nonsense about Veronica. She's the worst. I'm pretty sure she'd cast that hinky vote. She makes me feel really uncomfortable. Ryan too. I'm kind of a, Ryan sketches me out. Like, she's starting to finally open the floodgates of information. And Allie's feeling good about it. I think Allie is liking this. She comes away from this conversation being like, I feel better about Maddie. Still not 100%, but I definitely feel better about Maddie now. Especially feeding into the Veronica hatred. Maddie's doing well for the immediate aftermath of the nominations.
Yeah, Maddie should get a most improved for like saying actual things to other people or whatever you said. Because she does. I mean, it sounds funny because it's like, duh, that's the game of Big Brother. But Maddie has been, you know, really, I mean, just really keeping things to herself and very cagey. And so the fact that she was able to, you know, just say things. And you know what? It's so funny because it really doesn't even matter what she says, really, as long as she, you know, doesn't immediately target the people that she's talking to. She just has to have some concrete thoughts on something. Like, that was really all they were looking for. The fact that she is willing to open up and say something about her opinion of people in the house. I mean, that's really all that mattered. And I thought that this was really good, you know, in convincing Allie that, okay, she's not as sketchy as I thought. I think we can keep her.
Yes. And it even got to a point where Allie was basically like, look, you can pick me for the veto. If I win it, I will use it on you because I want Veronica up on that block. They seem to be on board with Maddie here. Honestly, I think Maddie's biggest danger is actually Will. Even though he definitely pointed her in the right direction, I do think that Will will probably help her. She's giving a lot of information to Will. We know Will is very close with Hamza, and Hamza is obviously very close with Marin. Will would prefer to see Marin go, but he's. I just think he's a dangerous player for Maddie to give a lot of information to. She's talking to Will, and because again, another part of it is that if Will hears about the backdoor Veronica plan, he won't want that. He won't want that at all. And if he thinks that Maddie is like, you know, part of that, I just don't know what might happen with Will in the future and with Maddie. So I think she should be a little bit cautious of that. But Will basically tells her, yeah, I don't know if I'd use the power veto on you because I'd be afraid about like me or Hamza somebody going up. I wouldn't want that. And so hopefully Maddie is hearing that and being like, okay, I need to think about who I'm telling things to.
Yeah, that should be immediate red flags. Like, if you're supposed to be close with this person and they're not willing to pull you off the block, like, that's not good. And Will does have a little bit of a leaky faucet, you know, to him, where he does just spill whatever information. And so recognizing that he's the person who does that, do not tell him things.
Yeah. Very much so. And then toward the end of the day, we also got Paris talking to the cameras and talking a bit more about her strategy. This is when she's talking about, like, I feel like Jesse leaving was probably good for me. And she's also talking about how she wants to essentially do the Paul strategy from Big Brother 19, where she is the third in every pair. And she actually wants Marin to stay, even though she will support Maddie over Marin. And if it comes down to it, what she really wants is Veronica out. And she's going to do everything she can to make that happen. But she wants to attach herself to as many pairs as she can. This is what I like about this season, is that, you know, you have Johnny playing really well. You have Erica playing well here and there. You have Kayla playing her own distinct game really well. You have Paris now back in it, now that Jesse's out of her head, playing her own distinct game very well. And even somebody like Allie, who is playing, her own kind of aggressive game. There's so many different styles and different people that are playing aggressively in their own different way. And a lot of it's good. Some of it's really bad. And it's all fun to watch.
You didn't list Veronica in that list of people who are playing really well. How dare you, Taryn? And I think that that's why going into this double eviction, it's just so unclear as to what's going to happen, because there's no set sides. The relationships are still forming, breaking. Everything is very fluid. And there are people who are playing really good, strong games in this house. It's been a really fun season to watch so far.
Yes. All right. Is there anything else that you want to bring up from yesterday?
There were some pranks that happened.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you want to talk about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So essentially, it was another Hasbro game, right?
Yep.
That Erica invited people up to play the game, and the people that were left over decided to prank those who were playing the game. So they they tied up all of Maddie's scarves. They wrapped stuff in saran wrap. And then the biggest thing was they put cereal in people's beds. And this was like a big deal.
Yeah. And this was, I think, like, all the people that weren't in the HOH room for the game. It was Hamza. Oh, who was it? Hamza.
Paris, Will, Veronica, Hamza, and Kayla, I think.
Yeah, something like that.
Some subset of those people.
And Ryan was the most upset. Because they put his dirty gym clothes in with his nice suits, and that was like really upsetting to him, and he was going off on people, and people just weren't very happy in general, which then set off Hamza and Veronica in particular. Like, they were pissed that the other people were upset about the prank. If Ryan overreacted, Hamza and Veronica tenfold overreacted to his overreaction. Like, what? I want to clothesline people right now. Like, I'm done with this. They are the worst.
Oh my god,
fun.
It was so funny. The fact that Hamza is just so pissed off that they didn't find a prank funny is just beautiful to me. But my favorite thing has to have been Ryan, because he was being so passive aggressive about the whole situation. He was like, this is going to take forever to clean. And he's doing his laundry like one sheet at a time on purpose. And Allie's like, you could put more in there. And he's like, it's just going to take forever for me to clean. Oh, it was so great. It was so great.
Yeah. I'm sure we're going to see that on the show, which will be fun. But I'm sure we're going to miss something else in the meantime. Yes, Hamza or Puya in the chat saying that Hamza was basically like, how dare you not enjoy our pranks, bro? It's just a prank, bro.
Oh, so incredulous. It's beautiful.
Yes. Also, Puya says, Ryan has become a full-on laundry tyrant. Yes.
Oh, yes. And it was so, it's really funny also because, well, I expected Ryan to be like, well, I've seen 800 hours of Big Brother and no prank has ever been this egregious. But he was also saying stuff about, you know, the difference between being 25 and 40, you know, something about them, like talking about age differences. And then he goes on to be the most petty doing his laundry as a full on laundry tyrant was just, it was definitely very Ryan.
Yeah. Ashley in the chat saying Hamza's reaction not surprising considering how he reacts to doors closing. That was an interesting part of my interview with my exit interview with Jesse, where I was basically like, why do you think you ended up leaving? So about that door closing situation, I don't think he realizes, or at least I don't think he realized at the time just how much impact that he was basically like, yeah, I mean, I closed it a little extra hard because I was mad that I lost the veto. But you got to be careful with doors around Hamza and with how you react to his pranks.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you better find that prank funny and shut the door super quietly. That's the only thing you can. Oh, and put him up on the block. Those are like the three things to win over Hamza.
Yes. All right. Well, I think that's all we have for you today. Good stuff. Hopefully a good week ahead of us. Definitely rooting for the veto to be won by somebody who wants to use it, because I think that's going to be leading us to a more interesting week and definitely a very interesting double eviction coming up. Very, very excited for that. Make sure you check out The Taran Show. I spoke with Spencer Clawson last week, and this coming week I just had my conversation with Kirsten, the gate crasher that didn't make it in. She talked about the experience, the emotional roller coaster of it all, and overall just really, really great conversation with Kirsten. I really, really recommend this upcoming Taran Show. I think you guys are really gonna like it, so don't miss it.
Yeah, you're gonna make Hamza mad.
Yeah, I'm gonna get it's if you don't listen to the Kirsten interview, that's like slamming a door a little bit extra hard.
I can't believe you didn't find it enjoyable. How dare you?
That's like not enjoying my prank. This is my prank. It's Kirsten on the Taran Show, and if you don't enjoy it, then I'm gonna clothesline you. That's the hashtag.
Oh, you could they could team up with Maddie and do like all the threats. It would be really fun. I'm not saying I'm gonna clothesline you, but I just feel like it's a clotheslineable offense if you put me on the block.
I mean, I feel like it might, and I'm not saying it's gonna happen, but you know, people often get clotheslined when they do things like not listen to the Kirsten interview. So it's like, do you really want to take that risk? I don't know.
I mean, it's up to you. It's your decision, but man.
And make sure you check out our continuing live feed update coverage 10 a.m. Eastern tomorrow and the rest of the time. And I will be in Reno this coming week, so we'll see how that works for me. And then Monday night, Rob will be covering the nomination episode of Big Brother Canada 6. And then Tuesday night, we'll have the LFC Roundtable podcast. And Thursday, after the double eviction, I will be live from Reno. Hopefully we'll get Kevin to join me. We'll see. He might be busy playing poker or something, but you never know with those things. Hopefully it'll be a fun show. Lots of great stuff headed your way. Thank you for joining us. You can follow us on Twitter. I'm @ArmstrongTaran. Liana is @LianaBoris. And we'll see you next time.